Everyone, welcome back for another episode. My name is Matt Tardio, and I'm going to be walking you through Donald Trump's Q&A session at the National Advancement for Black Journalists in Chicago. Today's episode is being sponsored by Upside. Now, love him or hate him, Donald Trump has been labeled as a racist, so it did take some pretty big cojones just for him to go out in front of this crowd today and speak. But did he actually get a fair shake? Well, you be the judge of that. I have pulled some of the best clips from today's Q&A session with Donald Trump. And whether or not you like the guy, whether or not you hate the guy, you just got to kind of admit that he really does have some good one-liners. So I hope you guys enjoy this show. Let's go ahead and kick it off.
President, we so appreciate you giving us an hour of your time. I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country, including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and you know, and I say this, historically black colleges and universities were out of money, they were stone cold broke, and I saved them, and I gave them long-term financing, and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here, and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
Mr. President, I would love I think if you it's could a answer very the question nasty question. Well,
I have answered the question.
Trust you with another
I have been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better than President Johnson, who signed the Voting Rights Act.
For you to start off.
You know, that is a very, very bold statement for him to make. But at the same time, the amount of people that actually cheered him on when he said that is shocking. Additionally, Kamala Harris actually did, in fact, call him out today on a debate. So the fact that he wanted her to be there at that convention is actually pretty dang valid, because if she did, in fact, get allowed to show up by video conference and they did, in fact, tell him that he had to be there in person, well, that's kind of messed up. Now, in this next clip, she actually asks him about his criminal record. And of course, Trump responds in his usual manner.
I've been prosecuted because I'm a political opponent of two people that have weaponized our justice system. I've been prosecuted. I just won the big case in Florida. Everyone said that was the biggest case. That was the most difficult case. And I just won it. Now, Biden has a similar case, except much worse. I was protected under the Presidential Records Act. Biden wasn't, because he wasn't president at the time. And he had 50 years worth of documents. And they ruled that he was incompetent and therefore he shouldn't stand trial. And I said, isn't that something? He's incompetent and he can't stand trial, and yet he can be president. Isn't that nice?
Mr. President,
but they released him on the basis that he was incompetent. They said he had no memory, and he was a nice old guy, but he had no memory, and therefore we're not going to prosecute him. I won the case, and it got very little publicity. I didn't notice ABC doing any publicity on it, George.
We cover you extensively, sir. I'd love to move over onto different topics.
I didn't notice you do any publicity on it at all. I won the case, the biggest case.
You're fake news.
This is an attack on a political opponent. I have another one where I have a hostile judge.
We have you for a limited time, sir. I'd love to move on to different topics.
No, excuse
me.
You're the one that held me up for 35 minutes.
Ouch. You're the one that held me up for 35 minutes. Well, at least he called them out on it. Now, in the next clip, Trump actually gets questioned about his age and his mental competency by the time this next term would be over for him if he was to be elected president. And she goes to get his take on it, whether or not he would actually step down. And Trump actually comes up with some pretty valid statements, in my opinion, for what should be required of a president of the United States of America.
And we see you golfing all the time, but if you win, you'll still be president at 82, which is older than Biden is right now.
But not mentally. Look, mentally.
Here's the question.
He's shot. But most people.
Would you consider?
Most people. I know many people in their 80s and their 90s that are in great shape. Some of our greatest leaders. You look at throughout the world history. The greatest leaders, some of the greatest leaders in the world were in their 80s.
But here's the question. Would you consider stepping down if you felt that your health was declining? Or would you?
Oh, absolutely.
And who would make?
I think I'd know.
How would you make that decision?
I think I'd know. Look, if I came onto a stage like this and I got treated so rudely as this woman treated me.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm fine with it because she was very rude, sir. Very rude. That was a nasty. That wasn't a question. She
sir,
didn't ask me a question. She gave a statement. That wasn't a question.
I repeated your statement, sir, actually.
You said you would. You would.
Oh, absolutely. If I thought that I was failing in some way, I want people to be sharp. I'll go a step further. I want anybody running for president to take an aptitude test, to take a cognitive test. I think it's a great idea. And I took two of them and I aced them.
Well,
I took two of them. But let me ask you.
Yeah.
I would like to have people running for president. And I don't mean because they're 75 or 85. I think anybody running, I'd like to do it. People say it's not constitutional. I would like to have something passed where you can do it. I think we should know. I mean, I've watched what's happened in the last couple of years under this gentleman. And our country is a mess. We have inflation. We have the millions of people falling in. We have Afghanistan, which was the worst, most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. What he has done to our country and her too, what they've done to our country, she has been a horrible vice president. She's considered the worst vice president in the history of our country.
Don't mean to interrupt you, but would you consider taking the cognitive test?
Mr. President.
I would love to
and
do
make it.
It
public.
Well, I've already taken two of them, but I'll do it again.
Mr. President, how do you intend to suggest it, Harris?
That let's take one. I said, Joe and I will go and take a cognitive test. Now, I'd do it with her, too. I would do it with her also. You know what? She failed her law exam. She didn't pass her law exam, so maybe she wouldn't pass the cognitive test.
Mr. President,
are you saying she wouldn't pass? Just to be clear.
I'm just giving you the facts.
To be clear, you don't think Harris.
How do you intend and
she
and
didn't
look.
Pass her bar exam. And she didn't think she would pass it, and she didn't think she was going to ever pass it. And I don't know what happened. Maybe she passed it.
She did pass it.
There's a man over here. I think he must work.
Mr. President, I would love to ask.
Wow. Well, he's not wrong. I mean, law enforcement officers, for example, they have small arms weapons that they carry on them on a daily basis, and they have to take mental exams in order to do that job. And we're talking about the commander in chief of the United States Armed Forces, who's also in charge of nuclear weapons. I think it's fair to say that the president of the United States might need some mental screening before you let them into office. I think he hit the nail right on the head. It is kind of mind-numbing that people think that for some reason asking the president to take a cognitive exam, knowing that they hold so much power, is somehow unconstitutional. And truthfully, I think we are all feeling it at the grocery store, and it's causing us all to try to save some money these days. And every year, we all pledge to save more and spend less. But how are you supposed to save when you're paying inflated prices for everyday essentials like gas and groceries? You can't just cut those purchases out of your budget. But now, thanks to my 2024 money back hack, you can get cash back from them with Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anybody who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With Upside, I get cash back on every purchase. It's my secret weapon for staying on track with my savings goals. And it is so easy to use. After you download the app, you can search for restaurants, gas stations, anything else. And what you're going to notice is the amount that you can actually save just by going to these locations and using the app. I can actually use it while I'm planning out my long drives for my family vacations, and I can actually see how much money I'm going to save. And then I can take that money and turn it into something else for that family vacation, something that we can actually enjoy and spend time on. To get started, download the free Upside app. Use my promo code ROB and get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside, then pay as usual with a credit or debit card and follow the steps in the app and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning hundreds of dollars a year, and that's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app and use promo code ROB to get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. That's an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas using promo code ROB. In this next clip, Trump actually says that Kamala Harris isn't black in front of a bunch of black journalists. Strap in, ladies and gentlemen.
Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, it? Equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give that me is a, that that is.
Give me a definition.
That is the definition.
DEI. Give me a definition.
Sir, I'm asking you a question.
No, you
very
have to define
question.
It. Define it for me, if you
I just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So. I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always
but
identified,
you know,
as a black woman.
I respect,
she went to a historically black college.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't. Because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, I think somebody
should look into that too when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
It's a direct question, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is a DEI hire, as some Republicans
really
have said?
I really don't know. I really don't know. Could be. There are some, and there
could be a DEI hire. Well, Trump's actually not wrong. She has identified as Indian before. Her birth certificate just came out today, and it does show that she is Indian and she's also Jamaican. Now, she is, I guess, has the prerogative to identify how she wants, but there is clips of her in the past running for different levels of government stating that she is Indian. Now, in this next clip, they actually ask him about his vice president pick, J.D. Vance. Let's give a listen to his response.
Why did you choose J.D. Vance? Why did you choose him? And I'm having a hard time hearing, too.
I'll tell you why. I chose him because he's a very strong believer in work and the working man and woman, and especially the working man and woman who have been treated very unfairly, because you have many of them in this room, but you have many of those people. They were treated very unfairly. They worked very hard and they were treated unfairly. He wrote the book that became a bestseller. The movie became a smash hit. He's a very smart guy. Without the benefit of having a family that has contacts, like a father that was well connected, he got into Yale Law School. He graduated in 2 years from Ohio State, summa cum laude. You take a look at, you know, his career has been an amazing career. He started off at a level with a difficult family situation, very difficult with the mother and the father and everything else. He ends up going to Yale Law School and was one of the top students, became the head of the law journal. I mean, that's an amazing thing. He's a four-year, he was in the military with great distinction for 4 years, got out, went into business, became successful in business, very successful in business, actually. Did public offerings and other things. And I have to believe in that. I mean, he's somebody that was born in a rough situation. Most of the people know that situation because it was very well documented in his book. And I have a lot of respect for somebody that can get into Yale and become one of the best students in Yale, that meets a young woman at Yale who was also outstanding, and mm-hmm. they get married, they have a beautiful family. But he had he's made himself an amazing life. He then goes to Ohio, lives in Ohio, and mm-hmm. he had my endorsement. That helped. But he wins the Senate. He becomes a United States Senator. So he's a United States Senator. So Harris, like I respect you for your success, I respect people for their success.
That is a very interesting statement about respecting somebody for their success. But I think where he missed short on this was stating why he has the ability to be vice president of the United States. Like, what are his goals? What are his stances? What is it about him that you like and or dislike? There was a big missed opportunity, I think, for Trump there in order to connect with that particular group of people. At the end of the day, Trump actually did have a pretty good showing. He did get a lot of applause. He also had a lot of woos coming from the crowd. But I mean, what else are you going to expect from Trump sitting in front of that particular journalist going underneath that type of scrutiny? Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I want to thank Upside for sponsoring today's episode. And if you haven't already, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless, ladies and gentlemen.